repeated and the 19th and takes the 1974 meeting which is done.
けど、どうも。久しぶり、トヨタだし。全然と一緒に仕事で何人しないで。
Who is prepared to change, who is, shall we say, anxious to see things clearly, not necessarily tied down to strong thoughts or ideas or emotions. If you are able to change your attitude and able to experience new experience, that depends on the individual. I don't look, as you remember me, from the point of view of age, because I have come to realize that that's purely a material thing in itself, that I'm not anymore using the same physical body. I'm not subject to the same restrictions. I'm not subject to the old thoughts and ideas. I'm not held down by material pressures. I'm now able to think clearly and on a different level. And therefore, I suppose, in a kind of way, I've assimilated new experience, which I know I have. I cling perhaps to certain things, which I presumably feel at the moment, are necessary to me, things that I don't wish to throw aside. I mean, this business of wearing clothes. I mean, it is natural, I suppose, that one feels that one should wear certain wearing apparel. I suppose that comes from a sort of reticence within oneself, that one would not like to be seen walking about naked.
Mm.
You know, but the point is that, of course, that's a change in the situation in your world. Seems to me that people have been giving now to think about the difference. It seems to me that nobody bothers.
What's your ambition now? You say you put yourself onto a different
level. But then again, you ask me what ambition is. I suppose, in a kind of old way, I haven't really got an ambition at the moment. But you see, there again.
Purpose, right?
Yes, of course, one has a purpose, and I have a purpose. I have a purpose in, as it were, trying to sort myself out, trying to adjust myself to what I'm doing, trying to find things that will be of service. That's one thing that I've already learned, very much so, that no one, doesn't matter who it is, can live to yourself and self alone. Over here, we realize that we're all essential one to the other. We lose a lot of the old thoughts and ideas in the process. And of course, there's no sort of, as it were, class consciousness in them. And another thing, there's no barrier here in regard to language. It's extraordinary. All manner kind of people, when on earth who were of different nationals, here is of little, in fact, no consequence. And all thoughts, of course, is a living reality. We don't even have to speak to each other. We can communicate entirely on a mental wavelength, I suppose, that is a sort of being able to understand the other person. You know, you take an animal, a dog or a cat, it can't speak to you, but if it has been with you for some length of time, it seems to have a realization of things that you're saying to it, and vice versa. I think that often one thinks that you feel things with animals. Animals are very much more sensitive in some senses, I think, than human beings. They know things which, and even see things which when on earth we didn't see. I've learned a great deal about animals, and indeed I'm very fond of them over here, as you can well imagine. Well, it depends on what you mean by soul. I mean, that business of what is the soul, nobody knows what a soul is. I don't know what a soul is. You can't depict or describe a soul. All I know is that I am living, that I have a body that is really a replica of my physical one at its prime. No age has touched it, and I'm conscious of myself as myself. I suppose what animates us, what gives us life, what makes a reality of living, is this thing, if you like, you can call it a soul. But you can't analyze a soul. I can't tell you what a soul is. I don't know any more than I can tell you what God is. We know that there is a life-giving force that animates all of us and gives us the power to reason, the power to understand, gives us freedom to express ourselves in whatever way we can express ourselves. I don't know what a soul is. Does anybody know? I don't think you can tell me what a soul is. Yes, what I am is my soul, I suppose.
You haven't got a
heart. Well, no, I don't think so. I mean, the whole point is that I suppose it is natural to assume that we must have shape.
Mm.
We must have form. If we didn't, we couldn't be recognized, and we wouldn't be able to perhaps do many of the things that we do.
Yeah.
Well, of course. But I think this business of shape and form is necessary, and yet it isn't the be-all and the end-all. It isn't the you, it isn't the me. It's just an aspect of oneself. It's not the complete self by any means. What gives you life is something much more that one can't put into words. I don't know how to describe it.
You can recognize people by...
Of course you can. I can recognize you. I can see you. I can see people here. And of course they're as solid to me as I am to them. You are solid to me in a sense, and yet you're not. You see, now I'm outside of your time.
Yeah.
I'm outside of your solidity. Your world is vibrating at a very different rate, essentially. And I find that only when I get to a certain level and tune in, and it takes some... It's quite problematic, being able to communicate like this. I'm merely transmitting my thoughts. You're hearing my thoughts inside, reproduced. Whether it's that good or not, I can't really say, but I'm conscious of your presence, but I'm much more conscious of your thoughts. This is what you don't understand. I'm conscious of your figure and what you're sometimes doing. Once I'm in tune with you, near as I can manage to be in tune with you, but it's your thoughts that are, it's your consciousness, the awareness that I have of what you're thinking. And this is the important thing, not so much in physical, but I suppose what you would call the mental. But you really know I mustn't take up all the time, must I? Otherwise there'll be other people going away disappointed.
You know, when people first come over, do you
tend
to sort of hear their voices,
do
you talk to them as you do here?
Well, automatically you do, you see. The point is that, you see, you don't suddenly obviously change.
Mm-hmm.
What you thought was necessarily essential with a material body in a material world, you assume in the initial stages that it's so here, and it appears so.
Yes.
It appears so because you expect it to be so, and to some extent you're making it possible to be so.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, after a very, I say, time, which doesn't really exist for us in the statement of absolute, but gradually you become aware that certain things are no longer what they seem, and not even necessary. This is a problematic thing which you find terribly difficult to put into words and difficult to describe, but gradually you stimulate this experience from knowledge.
And I sometimes feel that things in this world are not as important as we may doubt. Is that true? Are things more important than your time than they are here?
I would go as far as to say everything is important.
Oh.
While it's important to you, which sounds odd, but while you think a thing is necessary, and while you think a thing is important, what is the bottom of it? Why do you think so? Because you feel so, you feel so. Well, this is obviously a question. I mean, we just people and shallow vices. They're worrying about this or that,
mm-hmm.
and it concerns them greatly. It then becomes a very strong mental thing, then it becomes even more of a physical thing, and if they worry unnecessarily on duty, it affects their physical well-being, can even bring on illness.
Mm.
It's emotional illness, really. I've been able to gather this anyway. But it's true that they practically all know this. In the initial stages, it's a mental thing, a process of thought. I mean, you'll get somebody who's perfectly fit, but they will have this being that on it, because their mother died of cancer, that they may have inherited it. They may have cancer. They may have a perfect body, but if they constantly think about it and worry about it, become over anxious about it, then the body will start to change, and it will become apparent that there is something developing or forming. I think it's true to say that whatever happens in the world is, in the beginning, and obviously must be, if those things be, a mental process of bringing it into action. I mean, when one reads, or I used to think it's a very unjust thing, when it was given that the sins of the fathers fall on the children. To me it sounded unjust, unfair, illogical. But when you think about it, there is some truth in it. I mean, you take a walk, a war is brought into being, perhaps it doesn't come in the generation of the people who brought it into being, or at least formulated the force and the situations that followed to bring it into being. But the younger generation are the ones that have to suffer for what was brought into being by the thought forces and actions of their parents. We cannot escape from each other. I think we have to realize this. We are individuals, we are personalities, and we develop and we grow and we become accepted as such and such a person, with certain complexities or what have you, whatever it constitutes, whatever makes up our personality or our character. And the point is that we are the product of each other. We cannot escape from each other. We may have a separate shape or form, we may have a name, we may be known as this or that, but we are all, to some extent, the product of other people's thoughts. We can't escape from each other. It doesn't seem to me. But if I stay and talk to you lovely...
But Ina,
yes?
It's love. Can we let love?
Of course.
So when you love 3 weeks ago?
Yes.
How is she?
Well, talking to her, I suppose it's true. And we all sort ourselves out. Mm-hmm. We're healthy, of course. And I suppose it would be true to say that in a sense, talk is resting. Do you understand that when I say that?
Mm.
You see, some people need to rest. Some people are so confused and perhaps suffered a great deal before arriving here. And they have very strong touch feelings and emotions which are very material in their context. And they have to become adjusted. Sometimes it's necessary for them to go through a condition or a phase, if you like, of readjustment. It's difficult to explain some of these things,
yes,
but whatever I say to you, to make you understand me, I've obviously got to bring it down to a sort of material level. And in consequence, it may lose some of the context so that I would like to convey. I mean, this is how it is.
How do you know when someone arrives?
Oh, we know, because we're invariably in tune or in touch. I mean, if someone is very near and dear to us, obviously we come and see them, we talk to them, and if possible we try to help them. And of course if they're approaching what you term death, then of course we make a point of being present. So that when the person in question is free from the physical body, then we are there to help them and to help them to feel comforted and to readjust, because we do have some people who are earthbound, who just don't want to leave the physical world, don't want to leave the physical body, don't want to leave their friends and loved ones, and they cling to the earth because that's how their mentality is.
That's what he was longing to do.
Yes, well, this is a different case, but some people don't.
Gina, aren't there any dark spheres
you
have to go through before you...
No, I wouldn't say for one moment that there are any dark spheres. You see, any darkness is of the person himself. It's within the person's mentality. It's within the person's makeup. You do know, what you sometimes refer to as dreams are not necessarily dreams, because you have cheese to supper, you know, or something like that. Sometimes there are definitely actual experiences where you are released temporarily from the physical body and you enter into an actual condition very near the earth. And there are all these different layers of consciousness which people can enter into. That's why on some level you do have many things which are almost similar or very much like things upon the earth. But people, you don't understand, dear, I wish I knew how to explain it. You know, people are no more than they think. And a person will think on a certain level and create for himself a certain set of circumstances and conditions and environment in which you will find yourself.
Well, a good friend on this side, for instance, when he dies, perhaps
a
friend is more advanced mentally, he might
see
them again,
he
might be so far on, but he might be able to...
In other words, they might skip certain layers, if you like. Well, of course they do. You see, this is why I think that if everybody understood this truth of communication, and that life after death does exist, does happen. I think if people understood this properly and applied it in their daily and material life, their whole outlook would change. and they would become changed in consequence and judge others to change. I think this truth is the only hope for the world. I really do. It's the fundamental truth behind all religion anyway. If there's no life after death, what is the point of religion? All religions preach in some manner or form something after death, but none of them attempt to prove it or to demonstrate it. And I think this is where, if people understood this to some extent, if not completely, I don't think anyone can explain it, but if one could expect an understanding from their reason, it would change and help them. I think the whole world would be better for it, and people would think and act differently in consequence, and I think it would break down the barriers between nations and peoples and get away, you know, with a lot of the stupid nonsense that goes on. I mean, the creeds and the dogmas which sometimes really are separating people. I mean, look at Ireland. To some extent, that's the religious war. I mean, the Catholics against the Protestants and so on. I think religion and intolerance build barriers. I think a universal realization of what life is all about and that death is not the end could change the way of men in their thinking and their actions. This is where I see it. I'd like to feel that it could be so.
Which is cool, isn't it?
You know, really, you've really got me on my high horse. But it's not, I feel rather guilty. Because I don't want to fill it up all the time with a lot of people wanting to speak.
Just ask two tips, the two dogs. Have you got them? Can you have them?
Of course.
Well,
you know, I do wish people could understand that in some instances it's true today that animals are more intelligent than we are. They are extremely aware and extremely sensitive to things which the ordinary human being that isn't aware or conscious of. I think in the beginning, I mean, I can't prove this, but I would assume that before man became more sophisticated and more materialistic, when he was much more simple and lived nearer to nature, I think there's any reason to believe that he was more aware of these things then than he is today. With all the sophistication and scientific attitude and approach, I think science, of course, could well possibly in the future make this a living reality. I think that it is feasible. There may come a time when science will perfect some form of communication between your world and ours, which will bring conviction.
Yes, that's
very
interesting. I mean, everyone will know the truth,
won't they? Well, the truth is that we are living now more than we even thought was possible. I'm more alive now. I'm not exactly the same. Of course I don't. I suppose in some respects we must change. No one can stand still. I mean, this is what life's all about. We're not stagnant. We're not going to stay stationary. We must change. We must assimilate new knowledge, new experience, new ideas, and in consequence change our opinions and our attitudes. This is what life is all about, surely.
You know, have you any idea of how we always want to take the ideas of penetration?
Oh, I don't know. How can one Well, man is more and more materialistic, as it seems that he is. Certainly more materialistic than ever I can remember today. It seems to me that man is only concerned with self in the lowest sense. There are others, of course, who do aspire and do try to lift themselves out of the mire, but it seems to me that's like being unfair. But frankly, the more I see of your world, the happier I am to be out of it. I mean, I can look back at my early years. I think we all can. I suppose some people would say, oh well, it's finally getting old, and you're not nostalgic for the past. I'm not nostalgic for the past, exactly that, but that seems to me that, I don't know, the world is so changing, and the worst part of it seems to be coming up in those systems. reach out to these people. It doesn't seem to be the way of life that I remember, or the feelings that we had. Oh, my, we made mistakes, and of course, everyone must make mistakes. We used to think of the First World War and the Last War. One would have thought that one would have learned lessons. But one sees in your world now attitudes and conditions which appall. Although I will say this in fairness, I think that a lot of the young people are not as stupid as you. You know, we were rather blind. I think the young are not going to be as stupid as we were. They're not going to be led by the nose. I don't want to go into detail because I don't want to take up any more time, but I just feel that the wars, we brought them on ourselves. I don't think we can blame anyone else, only ourselves.
Not the sins of your fathers.
I think that we made a contribution. I think that we created circumstances and conditions. And of course now, I think younger people are not going to be so easily led. They are now beginning to be more analytical and beginning to become more, open-hearted and open-minded perhaps than we were. Of course, once we go back to all this business of class and position, there are so many aspects to it. But some things that were very good have been lost. Some things that were very bad, of course, have become lost in the process of change. But I like to think that the future, when the young people could be much better, I think that there's every reason to believe it could be. What I suppose distresses me, although I suppose in a sense it shouldn't, is just the mythicism of it, which seems to be going too far in one direction. I think that this is a mistake. Then again, I may be wrong. This brings me back to where I started from, about not wearing any clothes.
There's one other thing. Two
babies
who die as babies,
who regrow. Everything that has been given life isn't lost, it must continue. And if a child comes here, it is cared for and nurtured and looked after and educated and becomes, in consequence, of course, a more spiritually conscious and aware adult, I suppose that's the only way to put it.
Yeah.
Oh, we have. Oh, so many aspects of life which are so like the earth, but many that are not. Do you hear me?
Yes.
You know, I shall be getting into trouble. I'm afraid it's taking too much time.
Lena, you are connecting with the education in this world.
Yes, unfortunately.
Well, what do you think of the education which is being foisted onto by the political people? And
I didn't mean to hear, unfortunately. I was being facetious. There was many things I would know. Well, I don't know. I think there again, you see, I think that it is vital and important that people should have freedom to choose for themselves. I think this is vital. I do see, of course, the other aspect that there should be given equal opportunity for all. One has to accept that. But I do think that it should be left to the individual to choose for himself. And if a person is fortunate enough to be blessed, if that is the word, with more of earthly possessions than perhaps others, and they wish their children to be educated in a certain direction, if they think it is good, and they wish to do it, then they should have the freedom to do it. And I would like also to feel that those who are less fortunate could have the same opportunity. I think that's only fair and right. But of course, I suppose the ultimate will be, at least such a thing as the ultimate, a classless society, which on the surface sounds a good thing, but it can also be rather boring, kind of thing. In a sense. You know what I mean? I didn't really know. I'm getting quite a little muddled thinking about this because I do think change has to come. It has come in my lifetime and it will come in yours.
The youngster, of course, was too many changes which we would have thought impossible. But I don't think anybody, if they want to speak the truth, would like to see everything brought into being that was on the same level. You know, I can't imagine a precise who are these group of people, who are the people who are going to do the menial jobs. The problem may be that various plans will be in various things which will make it possible that many jobs will require services and servants. I don't know.
Can you tell us if there's any life on any other planet?
Oh, yes, I'm sure there is.
Can we ever leave you in the other planet?
No. But there again, you see, I think it's obvious to me. I don't know really, can't prove it, but I'm quite sure there are thousands of worlds, not just two or three, and there are different starters of being and different aspects of evolution. You see, the Earth, when we're on the Earth, we had this conscious, I suppose you call it, I would now, idea that we are the only living creation, that we are the be-all and the end-all, and that there is nothing else but us, which I think is rather on reflection now, and I actually think so differently, but I think it's rather ludicrous. Why should there only be one form of life or existence or one world, when we do know, science already is beginning to prove by this thought, there are many worlds. And I think the man-made Titan contest on these worlds, and possibly the beings on those worlds.
But if they're more advanced than the
other planets,
why haven't they contacted us before?
But they haven't been able to, or perhaps they didn't want to, or they didn't want to be contaminated.
Probably not. There's
no evidence. Another thing I found, the sense of humor, I thought. People do have a sense of humour. You know, we laugh and we joke. Not perhaps quite the kind of jokes that one might have had on Earth in some instances, but we'd be surprised if we had not happened.
And
you know, I'm taking up the whole sitting, if you call it. And when you go away and you're saying, and have to be in her email, and I've had so much more. I hope she doesn't come this time. What did you say, Joan?
I think it's so many things
I've
heard
of
you.
I
can't get too much
of you. Well, education. Go look at the room now.
Is there anybody over there that you can ask questions?
Of course. There are great souls here. I know you won't laugh, but if I were to tell you that I have met individuals over here that, people that I've read about or known about in some shape or form, I've met some of them here, and of course they're more advanced than I am, and very informed.
People like
Gerard and
Lodge.
Oh, people like Lodge and Sutherland Cooks.
Yes.
And all manner and kind of people. I know, I suppose this is where one has to be so careful. People who don't understand something, who divide it. They just laugh and say, well.
You might meet people like
Erasmus. There's no reason why not, and what a wonderful soul he was. Now, he was somebody after my own heart, the Russians. I don't know. I think I'm staying too long.
Can you give any message to natural people, friends who, as you say, derive this sort of thing and think that it's madness and that it's quite wrong?
Well, my dear girl, if you play the recording,
yes,
for them to listen to, then it's up to them.
Yes.
What is the point of sending a message if a person won't even listen?
They
don't even
want to listen to
a recording. No. I think it's because they're afraid. And of course, some just feel the whole
they
thing.
They can't believe.
Do what?
They can't believe.
No, I must be very lost, but it's understandable. One has to find what one's in their shoes.
I think it's very difficult sometimes for some people to even assume that it's feasible or possible. And yet they will wildly accept all sorts of things because it's in the Bible, various things, that people coming back from the so-called dead or communicating under some condition or other. Because it happened 2,000 years or more ago, and it's in the Bible, it must be true, and they accept it wildly and blindly. And yet the same thing is happening now. I mean, for instance, if you were to tell some people that Jesus told fortunes, they'd be horrified. Mm-hmm. If he did, he told the woman at the well her fortunes, her past, and some of her future.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Christ hadn't appeared to the disciples in the upper room and to others in varying times, there would have been no Christianity. My dear, if you can't make, well, no one can make anyone do anything but one must leave it entirely to them. If they don't want to know, well, eventually they'll find out themselves, sooner or later. But of course, if they were to understand and assimilate it to some extent, it certainly could help them, and it could not change your mind, I would have thought. And in any case, if you are in a position of having lost the world terms with someone you love very much, the realization that they are not dead, that they are near you, watching over you, helping you, and that you can, under certain conditions, communicate. But there is no need to have to come speechless and mediums. I would have thought the evidence, quite apart from spiritualists and mediums, was enormous. Various souls of various kinds have appeared to people. Millions of instances I've before, which prove there must be something, even if people don't fully understand it. I think a lot of people are afraid.
We want to get in touch with you. The only way we can do it is something astray.
Yes, that's true, but it doesn't alter the fact that under certain conditions, I might be able to come to you, and I might be able to do something that would make you sit up and say, my God, what's that?
I wish you could, you would.
I mean, for instance, supposing I don't say I'm going to do it, I'm not saying, then I can necessarily do it. But it is possible, it has happened, that some people, on certain occasions, have been able to do certain material, factual things that have absolutely convinced the person concerned with witnesses that the reality of something happening. I mean, for instance, now, supposing, for argument's sake, you were sitting in your office, and I were to come into your office, and I were to pick up a folder and throw it across the room in broad daylight, I would have thought that would make some of you sit up and
pay. It would certainly make me sit up with a start, but it wouldn't get your message across.
No, it wouldn't get my message, but it would make somebody, I mean, this folder type business, I've been very interested in this. And I wondered if I might develop into becoming one. I am being serious. Because I think it would be marvelous if temporarily, for a brief spell, I could come, for instance, to your home, and I could do something unusual, pick up a vase, and it's always possible. It is possible under certain conditions. I wouldn't say so, but if I could do something to attract attention, to let you know that I was present.
You stop the clock
first. Yes, I've done silly things, simple things.
You but
I want to do something tangible.
If you want to do it, you know, why can't you do it?
Well, my dear, it's not as easy as that.
Mm-hmm.
You see, I told you earlier that if a person thinks, concentrates his or her thoughts on whatever it is, it becomes a reality. This is true under natural normal conditions. But the point is that we are dealing, I have to be dealing, with certain material conditions which I am no longer, well, in tune with, exactly. But the point is, if I could possibly, and this has happened and does happen, even for a brief moment, so get into the condition sufficiently that it could be material for me, then I could presumably, this is what the poltergeist people do who specialize, I suppose I didn't say specialize, but they do it. If I could do it, I would. It's being able to become tangible or to utilize some sort of tangible force that's in harmony with your condition, to be able to remove objects or do something at least to attract attention. I mean, for instance,
but once you've attracted attention, what do you want someone to do?
Well, I suppose in the initial stages is to let them know there's some presence there. And then possibly to make contact with us in some shape or form, either by sitting with a table. And now that's an interesting thing. There's no reason why I or others shouldn't be able to contact you by table, tilting or messages through the table, or perhaps the automatic writing.
Well,
I mean, the point is that you get a pencil and you get a paper and you hold it lightly in your hand and don't make any effort at all of your own whatsoever and just let us try, let us do myself, let me try to write in your hand.
Mm.
Oh, you can't get confused. I think this is the problem. But we'll see about automatic writing or table. And the only time is when we lose contact and we take over. Unconsciously or subconsciously, I think.
What do you think about going conscious when you
put the glass? Oh, that's it. The pencil's stuck in the middle. And all you need to
do
is. Well, I believe that all these things are worth experimenting with. But of course, you have to be sure that it is not your first thing. Well, it could be if you just, I suppose, it's a joke, but it's not sitting first, and you offer a little spark of protection, and you send out your thoughts to myself and others to be present, and then I don't think there's any danger. And if you receive nonsense, you're not looking at that, because either you are subconsciously affecting it, or you will be influenced by some mystical things. You will think of mystical. I think you have to be rational about it and sensible.
I
don't think so. I think you have to be mindful of stuff about you know. And I think that it's true. If people stick on a material level and only anticipate seeing it on that line the floor, they'll get it. Still get all the tricks on the
line.
Yes, I know who you mean. No, I think a lot of these folks who make a point of working for an instrument or with an instrument during their earthly lifetime, when that earthly lifetime's work is finished, who died or entity or soul entered into their own condition and enjoyed it, but not always, and what is finished from the material level anyway. What is there after?
I can get some people reading
that book. Oh.
This is the
reading, huh?
The
Nicky's
work will be finished when...
Oh, it's gone,
sir.
I don't know.
I don't
know. I think it's possible. I don't know the stuff.
You'll go on to great things, will
you? I suppose so. How are you getting on in your work?
Sorry, that question goes to me.
Yes, sir.
Yes, oh, I hope well, I think. Yes. It's hard going at the moment. On the material plane, very material plane, the market's against me, really.
You mean selling houses?
No, I don't do it, thank you, sir.
I know, dear, I just think it could be different for me.
I'm so doing well in the same
way. My dear, it will. Think of our staying in the same way.
Goodbye. Bye, now.